Matthew 6, and we'll begin at verse 9. Let's hear God's holy word. Jesus said, "Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Amen. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. In this life, one of the most important things for us is to know that we are in debt. Of course, I don't mean money. We need to realize that we are in debt to God. That is exactly what Jesus is referring to here in this fifth petition of the Lord's Prayer, our debt of sin. He says, "Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors." And tonight we'll just focus on the first part of that verse, this matter of our personal debt to God. Lord willing, next Sunday we'll consider how we should respond to others who are indebted to us. One writer, Andrew Murray, said, "As bread is the first need of the body, so forgiveness is the first need of the soul." Forgiveness. And the fourth petition, Jesus teaches us to ask God and trust Him to provide our daily bread. And the main thrust, at least first, the first thing envisioned there in that petition is our physical needs, literal daily bread. But here in the fifth petition, Jesus is very clearly talking about spiritual things. This is addressing our spiritual need for forgiveness. Don't just pray for your physical needs. Those are important too. Things like your health, your livelihood, finances, your family. Those things are all very important. And the Lord wants you to pray for those things. He wants to hear from you about those matters. But remember, in Christ's prayer, this great pattern for prayer, spiritual needs really have the last word. Next to the emphasis on God's glory, praying for God's glory and His will to be done and so forth, the second emphasis, the second priority is the well-being of our souls, spiritual things. And the first thing, the matter of first importance for our souls, is what Jesus is teaching us here to pray for, and that is for forgiveness. And this is necessary because we are in debt, massive debt to God, and in many ways. And at the most basic level, we owe God everything. Because He made us. He created us. We owe Him our very lives. He takes care of us. He's continually providing for us. He gave us life. He sustains our life. He blesses us with so many good things. Everything that we need, He's so good to us. And we don't deserve anything good as sinners. And yet He lavishes so much good on us. And it all flows to us out of His goodness, His gracious character. And we owe Him everything. We owe Him constant thanks. We have a debt of gratitude that we could never repay because of how good God has been to us in making us and in His providential care of taking care of us. But there's a lot more to our debt than that. We are sinners. And our first parents refused to give God the love and the loyalty that they owed to Him. And we've all followed in their footsteps, in their waywardness. And we have, instead of being grateful to God, we have robbed Him of the gratitude, of the love, of the praise, of the thanks that He deserves from his creatures. Instead of loving him and glorifying him, we have loved and glorified ourselves. We've put ourselves really in the place of God. And instead of loving him and obeying him, we love and obey ourselves. We love ourselves with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. You know, it's God who's supposed to have that kind of love from our hearts, and yet we do that. We give that to ourselves instead. And this is where our debt to God comes from. We're bent toward ourselves. That's sin. We sin in thought and word and deed. We do what God has forbidden us to do. We fail to do the good that he's commanded us to do. And in this way, we just keep piling up that debt. It grows bigger and bigger every day, more by the hour. If it wasn't for God's grace, that mountain of sin would just never stop getting higher and higher. We don't need to go into great detail about how and all the many ways that we sin with our idolatry, like we talked about this morning, our anger, our downright hatred toward others at times, lust, sexual immorality, coveting, and it could go on and on. The deeds of the flesh, there's no end to them. The real point is, we sin, and we sin pretty much all the time. We are constantly adding to that mountain of sin debt. No one has succeeded in even obeying one of God's commandments from the heart, aside from Jesus. We've broken them all, and we continue to break them all. And the debt grows and grows in and of ourselves. That's all that would happen. And the result of this continual sinning is just more and more debt that we owe to God's justice. We all know that we have an obligation to do what we should. We have an obligation to do what's right. We have an obligation to keep from what's wrong. Even an unbeliever, even a hardened atheist, knows that at the most basic level. He knows right from wrong. May not agree with us on everything that's right and everything that we believe is wrong from God's word, but this is God's universe. And when we turn away from doing what is right, we're turning away from God. We're turning away from our duty to honor him and obey him and his law. And this makes us guilty before God. And our debt of sin grows and grows. And we're subject to the penalty of God's law that we've broken over and over and over again. And that penalty is death. Not just physical, but spiritual, eternal death. And unless a way is found for that debt to be paid, we will pay it ourselves in hell for all eternity. So how can your debt to God be paid? Well, you could try to reform your life from this day forward. You could try to really turn over a new leaf and change your tune and try really, really hard to not add to that mountain of debt, that you wouldn't heap up any more sin and guilt for yourself. But you can't do that. You won't even make it through 1 hour without sinning and adding to that mountain of debt. Even the most godly believer in Christ, filled with the Spirit, cannot hope to obey God perfectly. The power of sin is still in us. We're being tempted to sin continuously. The flesh wants to give into it. We give into it in our hearts, even if we don't with our hands and outwardly. We're just like the Apostle Paul in Romans 7, where he says, I do not do the things that I want to do, but I do the very things that I hate. Now, even as believers, we have a new desire. Like Paul, Paul there had a new desire. He didn't want to sin. And we as believers don't want to sin. We have that new nature within us, that new desire that God has implanted within us. But the power to carry it out perfectly, we don't have that yet. We won't have that power to carry out God's will in our lives, obedience to Him, until glory, when our sin nature is completely gone, when it's eradicated from our being. Look forward to that. That's going to be a great time when that happens. And even if you were to start today with a fresh slate, just completely fresh start, and you could just somehow obey God perfectly, if you had that power within you now, you'd still have your past record, that past debt of sin, that bad record. You can't just go back and undo all the wrongs you've done in the past. Even if you could just totally morally reform yourself now, the sin debt can't be taken away by our own efforts. So we've got the bad record, and we've got the bad nature that's still there within us. And so that leads to this bad, big, bad, massive mountain of debt that just gets bigger and badder. And we really begin to realize how massive our debt is. It should lead us to despair. And that would be a good kind of despair. That kind of despair is what we need. That's not a bad thing. You should feel, call it godly despair, when you come to terms with the truth that you have this sin debt with God and you cannot possibly deal with it yourself. You cannot repay it, and you cannot reform yourself to even stop adding to it. That should lead you to just stop in your tracks and feel a sense of, man, I'm in trouble. Despair. I remember looking at how much I owed on my mortgage a few years ago, and I was like, oh man, that's a lot still left to go. Maybe you've looked and felt discouraged by that. Well, the reality is, if you keep pecking away at that, if you stay in that house and you keep making those payments consistently, the day will come when that debt will be fully paid. And that will be a great day indeed. But this debt that we owe to God is completely different. You can't possibly pay it off, ever. Other religions will tell you you can. Only Christianity says, you have no hope of repaying that debt. It's too big, and it's just getting bigger and bigger. You cannot make that debt go away yourself. You just keep adding to it and adding to it. But there is a way. God has made a way for our bad record to be completely wiped out. And that way is forgiveness. Forgiveness is the only way. You and I need to ask God to forgive us our debt. There's no other way for a sinner to get right with God. You can't work. You can't work off that debt. You can't work to try to earn some kind of merit with God that will counter that debt. No, His standard is perfect, and He's not just going to sweep that debt under the rug. Even our best efforts only make it worse. Again, because all our works, all our deeds, in and of ourselves, they're still tainted by sin. So we've got to accept this one and only way that God has provided to deal with our debt. As Jesus said here, we need to pray, Father, forgive us our debts. Some people say that asking God for forgiveness like this, it's too easy. Too easy. Can't be that easy. And in one sense, God's way of salvation is very easy, isn't it? That's the beauty of it. It's easy enough for a child to lay hold of. He has made it easy for us. But in another sense, it's the hardest thing in the world to receive forgiveness. I think maybe that's why it's easier for a child. We grow up, we get older, and we don't want to accept those kind of terms. It's difficult to receive forgiveness often for us because it forces us to humble ourselves completely. We have to let go and let God do everything to save us. We have to admit we can't do anything. We can't do anything but make it worse. We need Him to do it all. We need Him to pay that debt for us. And we're not used to living that way in this world, are we? We're used to living by our works. We work hard. We're trained to live that way. We have to work for our pay. And if you want to have food on the table, you've got to go out and earn the money to get it. And that's good. And that's how God wants it to be in this life. But then it can become very hard, if we're prideful, to receive grace. It can be very hard to receive help from others. Sometimes you just need to learn to receive. Is that hard for any of you? You know, we want to pay our own way. And that's good. Again, if you want to earn your keep, you want to pay your own way in life, again, that just means you're a responsible person. You're probably a hard worker. You're a good citizen. You'd be a great employee, a good neighbor. You know, that's the kind of person I want living next to me. But when it comes to spiritual things, you cannot pay your own way. You have to acknowledge that. You have to acknowledge that you're completely impoverished and helpless, and you can do nothing. You need to let go of your pride. You need to realize you have empty hands, and you need to hold those empty hands out and ask, beg to receive this free gift of God's forgiveness. We don't like to think of ourselves as beggars, do we? That's exactly what we are when it comes to salvation. We are so needy. Thankfully, God is full of grace and readiness to forgive us. The second thing that makes it hard for us to ask God for forgiveness, I think, is that we misunderstand what God is really like. We think that He is a lot like us. And this is a problem because we're not all that ready to forgive others, are we? We don't like to forgive very much when we're wronged. I'll tell you what, there are some times in my life where I wouldn't have forgiven the person until I realized that it was eating me alive from the inside out and I had to let it go, or it was going to kill me. We're very unforgiving people toward those who wrong us. And yet we have wronged God just infinitely in comparison to the piddly little wrongs that people commit against us. Our wrongs toward God are so much greater. But because we're by nature unforgiving, we tend to think God's a lot like that too. And we tend to doubt that He has the capacity to forgive us. Thankfully, that is not true. God has revealed Himself to be rich in mercy, full of grace toward needy sinners. Now, the beautiful thing about this God, and you see it over and over again in the Scriptures, you see it especially with Jesus and His dialogue with the Pharisees and others who were self-righteous. He is hard as nails toward prideful, self-righteous people who think they don't need forgiveness. They're not going to get it. But God is full of grace. He is delighted and eager to pour out that grace and forgiveness on the humble sinner who humbly asks for forgiveness. Isn't that beautiful? Think of the story of the prodigal son. That young man didn't have a clue what his father was like. I think that's one of the real punchlines of that story. He completely misjudged what his father was like. After he finally realized how he had sinned and how bad his situation was in life, how miserable his condition was that he was in, he finally gave up and realized, I got to go home. I'm going to go home and beg for mercy. He humbled himself and he got back on the road. But what did he intend to say to his father? He was on his way back and he was figuring it all out. He was planning to beg his father to just let him be one of his hired servants. Just let him be a slave. Father, let me be one of your slaves. Now, there's something to be said for that humility, right? The prodigal's humility. He knew he didn't deserve any better. He knew he wasn't worthy of any better treatment after how he'd trashed his father on the way out of town. But the problem here was he completely misunderstood and misjudged what his father was really like. He really misjudged his father's love and his father's readiness to forgive him. He's on his way home. He's rehearsing his speech. He's planning to just grovel and beg to be a slave. But what happened? In Luke 15, Jesus says, while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion. And he ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quickly, bring the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. People, your Father in heaven is like that. He loves his children with an infinite love, with everlasting love, steadfast love. Even when we've gone astray, he is far more ready to forgive your sins than you are to humble yourself and to ask for that forgiveness. He's so eager, so ready to forgive all your mountain, that giant mountain of sin debt. And he's not going to just take you back as some miserable, low-level slave. No, he's going to welcome you like a king. He's going to welcome you like a prince. He's going to make you his royal child. And that's exactly what he does. The moment we come to him and seek his forgiveness through faith in Jesus Christ. And that's the only way we can have that gift of forgiveness. Pray and simply ask your Father for it. Jesus has secured it for us. And he will never turn away anyone who asks for it. He will run to meet you. He will embrace you and he will clothe you with the best robe, the robe of Christ's righteousness. And don't doubt his readiness to do this. He is ready to completely throw that mountain of sin debt into the depth of the sea. And the reason why he's so happy to do this is that your sin debt has already been paid for in full. He doesn't just sweep our sins under the rug. He doesn't just overlook them. No, he can't do that. Sin has to be dealt with. And he did deal with all our sin in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And now he looks at us and he sees Jesus Christ, who we're united to. He sees his Son who made full atonement for all our sins, who bore that massive mountain of sin on his back and was nailed to the cross. And it was nailed there with him. All that debt. That's what he was doing on the cross. Paying our debt. That infinite debt. And the Father accepted that payment for our sins. And the resurrection of Jesus was the proof. Colossians 2 says that when Jesus was raised from the dead, God made you alive together with him. And I love the way it states the next part. Having forgiven us all our trespasses, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands, this he set aside, nailing it to the cross. It is finished. You need to get that. You who trust in Jesus Christ, God's justice has nothing more to demand of you. And all that mountain of sin has already been dealt with by your Savior. And all God asks now is that you walk with him, keep short accounts with him, keep confessing your sin to him, keep seeking that forgiveness that he's promised to give to you each day and every hour. Keep doing that and believe that you have that forgiveness. Believe that you have it. Don't just ask for it. You've got to believe that you have it. It's his promise. Remember, daily forgiveness is as important as daily bread. No, it's more important. And it's necessary because we have this precious new relationship with the Father that we want to maintain. We don't want that relationship to be hindered. We don't want anything to come between us and this great God. And that's why Jesus came into the world, to take away everything that would separate us from the Father. And it was the Father's will to do this. He sent Jesus to die so that nothing would ever again come between us and him. And so it's God's will that you would pray this prayer, this great petition. Pray it often. May it become second nature for you. God doesn't want you to be separated from him for even one moment. He doesn't want your relationship to be hindered one bit. He doesn't want your prayer life to be hindered one bit. So let his love prompt you, move you, compel you to call on your Father early and often and to ask him for that forgiveness that you need and that Christ won for you at the cross. Let's pray together. Father, forgive us our debts. Lord, we pray that you'd give us a deeper understanding of your great love for us and of your amazing desire to want intimate communion with us. Lord, that boggles our minds because we know what we are like. We know that we are unworthy of you. And the very thought that you desire us and fellowship with us, it just seems incredible, unbelievable. It is a shocking thought, but it is wonderful in our eyes, O Lord, that you love us. We marvel at it. Lord, we pray that you'd cause us to marvel at it more and more, but help us to believe it. We pray that you would every day prompt us to seek your forgiveness afresh, and above all, to believe that we have it through the wonderful atoning work of your Son, our blessed Savior. We thank you that he has blotted out all our trespasses and he washes us whiter than snow. And that is the standing that we have before you and we will have forevermore because of your forgiveness. We praise you that nothing will ever separate us from the love of God because of this great work of our Savior. And it's in his name we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.